Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Before I say anything else, let me just apologize for that typo in the bulletin. Cricket and I do the bulletin and I proofread it, but proofreading is a daunting process. So again, my apologies for that. I see most of you figured out what it was supposed to be. From the Holy Gospel for this Sunday after Ascension Day, John 16, verses 1 to 4, Jesus says, "I have said all this to keep you from falling away. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do this because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you of them." This Sunday after Ascension Day is very much an in-between kind of Sunday. This past Thursday, the church celebrated our Lord's glorious ascension into heaven. And 1 week from today, we celebrate the joyous feast of Pentecost, which with Christmas and Easter is one of the three great festivals of the church year. On this in-between kind of Sunday, the appointed gospel takes us back to the upper room on the night before Jesus was crucified. And there we hear a fragment of Jesus' farewell discourse, in which he prepares his disciples for his departure from this world, both by letting them know what they'd be facing after his departure, and also by promising to send to them his Holy Spirit. Well, we all know that these 12 men in the upper room were very much what somebody has called the crooked timber of our humanity. The crooked timber of our humanity. Jesus knows their frailty, their inconstancy, their too valiant trust in themselves. And as we all know, before that night was ended, one of those 12 men had in fact betrayed his Lord. Their spokesman, Simon Peter, had not just once but three times sworn that he didn't even know Jesus. And when Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, they all forsook him and fled. Nor is that all. Jesus also knows what these few men will be up against when he's no longer visibly with them. He says they're going to put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming when whoever kills you will think that he's offering service to God, and these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. All of that is not a very encouraging picture. And the truth, of course, is that you and I are certainly no better than that little band gathered with Jesus in the upper room. You and I, too, are very much the crooked timber of humanity. We, too, are frail. We, too, are inconstant. And we, too, are always only too ready to rely on ourselves, on our own wisdom and our own strength to manage things. And so we see in ourselves what our church in her confessions calls the more serious faults of human nature, namely ignoring God, despising him, lacking fear and trust in him, hating his judgment and fleeing from it, being angry at him, despairing of his grace, trusting in temporal things. Nor is that all. You and I are also aware of the relentless hostility of the unbelieving world to Jesus, his word, and his church. We all know that in many parts of the world, martyrdom becomes more common with every passing day. And here in this part of the world, blessed as we are, we certainly face the more subtle pressure, not only of indifference, but of a world whose common assumptions about life flatly contradict the truth revealed in Jesus. A world whose common assumptions about life, for example, about marriage, flatly contradict the truth revealed in Jesus. But if we've heard Jesus' word in today's gospel, we can't really be surprised, because this is exactly what Jesus taught his disciples to expect. He prepared them for all that so that, as he says, they would not fall from faith. When you and I see what the faithful Church of Christ is up against today, it's all too easy to wonder what on earth is going on, and who, if anybody, is in charge. But this must never be reason for despair, because the Church's Lord has told us to expect just this, the hostility of the world. Also, and perhaps most sadly, the hostility of the world hidden in the church. And so, far from undermining our faith, this reality should in fact strengthen our faith, because this is exactly what Jesus told us to expect. And there is also this: we're not on our own. For on the night he was betrayed, Jesus not only prepared the disciples for what they'd be up against, he also promised to send them his Holy Spirit, whom he calls the Comforter. The Comforter. Says, "When the Comforter comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." A comforter is, of course, one who consoles. But in olden times, a comforter was also understood to be one who makes you strong. Consider the word comforter. And notice the word fort, the word fort in the word comforter. The Holy Spirit most assuredly consoles us, but the Holy Spirit also makes us strong. And he does that by pointing to the risen and ascended Lord Jesus, by showing Jesus as our Savior, just as Jesus said, "When the Comforter comes, he will testify of me, and you also will bear witness." In and of themselves, the Lord's apostles were frail and feeble people, very much the crooked timber of humanity. But when the Comforter who makes men strong came to them 10 days after the Ascension, on the great day of Pentecost, that little band of men boldly proclaimed to the world, shown in the great crowd gathered in Jerusalem that day, they proclaimed to the world Jesus' victory accomplished on the cross and revealed in his glorious resurrection. And the strengthening Holy Spirit who did that on the day of Pentecost will, according to Christ's promise, continue to do that until the risen and ascended Lord, who now all hidden governs all things for the well-being of his church, will finally appear in glory. The Holy Spirit who used the apostles continues to use their successors who continue to speak peace to hearts troubled by sins and fears without number, forgiving sins in Jesus' name, calling to repentance, baptizing children and people of every age, and strengthening us through the Lord's body and blood. In all of this, the Holy Spirit makes you alive in faith. He strengthens and consoles. And that is the secret of the church's survival through all the trials of her history. This is the secret of the church's resurrection from all the graves prepared for her by a hostile world and the malice of Satan. The church's life is not her own. The church's life is the life in her of the Holy Spirit who makes us strong through faith in Jesus, who all unseen rules all things for the good of that little flock that bears his name. And so as we look forward to next Sunday's great feast of Pentecost, we pray with the church of all the ages, "Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful people and kindle in us the fire of your love. You who through many languages gather together the nations in the unity of faith. Amen." And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. And having heard the word of God, let us now stand and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty.